The real estate market may be in its winter slump, but spring is just around the corner, only 5 weeks away. Hi, I'm Rob West. Higher interest rates have left many home buyers and sellers stuck on the sidelines in recent years, but could a change be on the horizon? Today, mortgage expert Dale Vermillion joins us with a market forecast and some practical advice on moving forward. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Dale Vermillion is the author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. He's a frequent contributor on the program. Dale, great to have you back.
Rob, it's always an honor to be here. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. Hey, I mentioned that folks have been in a stay put mode for a few years now due to high interest rates.
Yep.
I know this is front and center, and what you do is you train tens of thousands of mortgage brokers across the country. Give us your perspective. Is this about to change?
Well, we think so. You know, they call it the lock-in effect, and we did see existing home sales increase by 6.1% in November. That's the last report we had. December, I know, was slow, and January typically is. But we've got the March season coming and February when we start to see things increase. And consumer confidence we are seeing is increasing in all reports, and I think consumer patience is probably decreasing. People want to get into homes. So I think we're going to see some movement and some growth in the next year or two.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can put off a move for a period of time, but at some point you just got to go, right? I mean, you can't put your life on hold. And so we're probably going to see more and more people getting to the place where they say, all right, I'm just going to have to go ahead and, you know, accept these interest rates where they are and expect to refinance maybe in a couple of years. Is that the way people are thinking?
You know, I think it is the way that they're thinking, but the fact of the matter is it all comes down at the end of the day to what your payment's going to be, what you can afford. So when you're thinking about, you know, I need to move, I've got to make that decision, just make it wisely. Like we talk about all the time, make sure you do a budget, make sure you determine what you can afford. Those are key principles in any purchase that you're going to make.
Yeah, very good. Let's talk about the Fed. Of course, rate cuts have disappointed a lot of people, and mortgage rates tend to lag far behind them anyway. And now we're hearing that perhaps it's even in question whether we'll get any more rate cuts this year. What say you?
Yeah, it looks like we might get one or two, probably not more than that. Look, after listening to the inaugural address, the thing that's going to move mortgage interest rates is going to be whether or not inflation moves. And part of that is going to go back to the federal deficit. And, you know, if Trump can control debt, like he promised, and bring that down, that should move mortgage rates down a little bit. If you remember, the really low rates we had last time was when Trump was in office, but that's because they were buying trillions of dollars of mortgage-backed securities. That's probably not going to happen. So what we're expecting this year is rates to stay in that 6 to 7% range for most of the year. We may be fortunate enough to get high fives by the end of the year, but not likely.
Yeah. All right. What is your advice then, Dale, to someone who wants to buy or sell a house in 2025?
Well, the first thing you need to know about 2025 is that values are flattening out, even dropping in some markets. That's an important thing to think about when you're either buying or selling. CoreLogic, who is the expert in that, Q3 of last year over year, the annual gain in real estate was only 2.5%. That was an average of $5,700 per home. Q2, it was 8%. That was $25,000 per home. So we saw a big drop in a matter of one quarter. And we're seeing markets where property values are flat and even going down a little bit because of, you know, some of it's natural disasters. Some of it is just the marketplace and the high rates. Here's the bottom line. If you're looking to sell, you know, this may be a peak time to get the value you're looking for. If you're looking to buy, it comes down to affordability, understanding you might see a little bit less increase in the next couple of years until rates drop, but rates will eventually drop. You'll be in a better position, and it's about creating that affordable home and building that equity. And don't forget, you get major tax benefits to a mortgage home, and that's a big benefit that you get when you look at buying.
Dale, just 20 seconds left. Anything someone should know in terms of how the mortgage industry has changed and what they need to know before they go out and seek a mortgage if they haven't done it in a long time?
Yeah, all they need to know is that there are a lot of diverse products out there that allow for people to get qualified that couldn't in previous years. So if you had a little bit of credit problems or you need down payment assistance programs, which are out there, they're readily available. I would talk to your local mortgage advisor.
Excellent. Dale, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Great to be here, Rob. God bless.
That's Dale Vermillion, author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. Back with your questions after this. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Not every sport is a team sport, but many of the professional sports are. And I'm sure you know the saying, there's no I in team. But it's amazing how often when a great play is made, individual players will often call attention to themselves, basking in the cheers of the crowd. Now, the point isn't to shame any player, but to point out that God's Word reminds us that ultimately it's not about our glory and honor, but God's. Psalm 115 opens up with these words, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." And so may it be the same in our hearts, that our greatest joy would be in his glory. Grow in your walk with Christ through Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Well, this is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you develop a biblical worldview of money and live out your faith through your daily financial decisions. That's what we want to do here each day on this program. We also take your questions, the number 800-525-7000. That's right. Our team is standing by. We've got lines open. This is the time to call 800-525-7000 with any financial question today, whether it's your spending plan, maybe it's giving wisely. We've had a lot of folks interested in the qualified charitable distribution, the only way to get money out of an IRA after age 70 and a half without paying any taxes. Perhaps you're wondering about your investments, or maybe it's just staying on budget. Whatever's on your mind today, you can call right now. We'll begin taking those calls here in just a moment. Again, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we do that, though, in the news today, despite recent Federal Reserve rate cuts, credit card interest rates, of course, remain near record highs. Well, a new bipartisan bill aims to cap them at 10% APR for 5 years. But experts warn it may not benefit consumers. Senators Bernie Sanders from Vermont and Josh Hawley from Missouri have introduced the bill, again bipartisan, echoing a proposal from President Trump. Currently, the average credit card APR is 24.26%, and nearly half of all cardholders carry debt month to month. In 2022 alone, consumers paid over $105 billion in interest and $25 billion just in fees. However, industry experts and banks strongly oppose the cap, warning it could reduce access to credit and push borrowers toward high-cost alternatives like payday loans, which are, of course, a disaster. While 77% of Americans support interest rate caps, previous proposals have failed due to a lack of support. Experts say the bill's success may depend upon inflation trends and, of course, Trump's continued backing. Even if passed, the cap may not help existing cardholders, as it likely applies only to new purchases. If you already have a lot of debt, of course, this legislation probably doesn't help you, but certainly going to be interesting to follow this one through, and we will certainly keep you posted as this makes its way through Congress and monitor any comments on it from the president as well. All right, we're ready to take your calls today. That number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Oregon. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. I received a letter from a company, and it said that there was a notice of data breach. They give me a phone number to call to get a free credit report to check my own accounts and make sure that I haven't been compromised. But I'm a little leery of following up on that number just because I'm not sure that that's correct. Is there a place I can look to find the free credit report, and what is that phone number?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a free credit report available from the official annual credit report service, which is the only government authorized source for free credit reports. You're entitled to one free report each year. I think at one point they increased it beyond one, and so you may be able to get more, but certainly at least one. And that's going to come from all three bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. There's two ways to do that. One is online, annualcreditreport.com. The other is a phone number. I can give that to you now if you're ready. Do you have a pen handy?
I do. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. It's 877-322-8228. Just one more time, 877-322-8228. Now, that will get you, Lynn, your credit report. However, I will say that whenever there's a data breach, and I'm glad you didn't just respond based on the information that was mailed to you, even though it may be perfectly legitimate, another way around that is to go directly to the company's website that was compromised, the one that you have done business with that has said they've had a data breach, and see if there's not a notice on top of their website or somewhere on their site, maybe a news section about the breach and any action they're taking to protect their customers. Because often what they will do is agree to pay as a result of the breach for 6 months, maybe a year or more, for a credit monitoring service. Getting your credit report is fine, but it's probably still pretty early, and if somebody were to take your information that they got from the breach and use that to steal your identity or open an account fraudulently in your name, probably isn't going to show up quite yet. And so that's where, taking advantage of free credit monitoring, if they're making it available, I think makes some sense. I don't generally recommend folks pay for that if they're not being offered that service by somebody who's willing to cover the cost, just because the things that they do, you don't need to pay for. You can do them yourself, but they do require that you stay on top of it. So in addition to getting your credit reports from the number I mentioned from Annual Credit Report, I'd probably go to that company's site, see if they're willing to pay for credit monitoring, and if they are, I'd take advantage of it because it's just one more level of security and it's not going to cost you anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, who does that pre-credit monitoring? Does that company do that, or do they contract that out to somebody?
Yeah, they contract it out. There's a number of the big players in this space that do credit monitoring, and there's a variety of brands that you probably wouldn't have heard of. But what happens is the company, whether that's, you know, anybody from your bank to any other financial institution that had or institution that just was storing your information that has the breach, they generally, as a best practice to try to make restitution for what they have allowed to occur on their watch, will pay one of the large reputable credit monitoring services on behalf of their customers, and that would be then the free service you could take advantage of.
Okay, and then that company lets us know if indeed it looks like our data has been used erroneously.
Well, what would happen is they would just start providing their regular service, which includes monitoring your, you know, credit reports for changes, monitoring what's called the dark web, which is where a lot of these, this information is exchanged. And so if your name or social or, you know, passwords associated with you show up, they will alert you to that. They might even provide insurance, you know, to help protect you if your identity is stolen, things like that. So they'll just start doing those normal things that they would normally provide to their paying customers. It's just that now they're being paid by a third party on your behalf. The other things you may want to do, Lynn, would be, number one, in addition to monitoring your credit report, I'd go ahead and freeze your credit reports with each of those three bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. You can do that on their websites or by calling each of them. It's free, but it would essentially put a PIN number on your credit file so that if a lender tried to access your credit history for the purposes of determining whether to open a new credit line, you know, for, let's say, a fraudster who's using your information, they would not be able to do that because they wouldn't have the PIN number. So that would be, one additional step you could take.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Lynn. Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. Well, folks, we're just getting started. Still a long way to go here on the program today. We've got some questions coming up. Caleb is in Texas. He wants to know if it's better to pay cash or get a mortgage for a house. And Patrick in Indiana wants to know about borrowing against his 401k to pay off credit card debt. What's your question? Call right now, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman. Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got lines open. That number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, if you listen to the program regularly, maybe you found something you could apply in your own life, or you've been encouraged as we mine the scriptures and bring God's word to bear in light of your financial journey, and you'd like to partner with us, we'd certainly be grateful. The way to do that is through what we call our FaithFi partners. These are folks who are invested in the ministry. They're on the journey with us, committing to be faithful stewards, and they want to help us reach more people with this message. That partnership is at $35 a month or more. And one of the ways we say thank you to you for being a FaithFi partner is by sending you a quarterly copy of our new Faithful Steward publication, a beautiful 48-page digest full of really insightful and thoughtful articles on the connection between faith and money, dealing with all of the practical issues that you address daily in your financial life. We'll also send you pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotionals. Our newest study is on its way out in the next 60 days. It's called Wisdom Over Wealth. It's a deep dive into the book of Ecclesiastes on money. It'd be great for your small group or just for personal reading. As a partner, you'll get a copy before everyone else. If you'd like to become a FaithFi partner, just head to our website, faithfi.com. Click Give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com. And click Give. Thanks in advance. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. Let's see. Ramel, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Good morning. I'm calling concerning a situation of my granddaughter. She is in college, and she transferred from one college and got enrolled in a different one. After she made the transfer, they sent her a bill. She just now, this month or last month, May 21, she's not working, and then found out that that bill was sent to collections. So she has no funds to pay for that bill. How does that work?
Yeah. So did she actually attend that school, or was this a bill for classes that she did not have access to?
She attended the school and then she withdrew.
Okay.
And they sent her, she was able to enroll in another college. They sent her all the information needed to get her enrolled. And then after she had gotten enrolled in the other college, they started sending her a bill.
Yeah. But does she owe it? I mean, had the deadline passed to withdraw or, in your estimation?
We asked them. Was there going to be any fees that she owed before she withdrew? And they never answered us. They never gave us any information on whether it was. And then later on afterwards, they sent a bill. They never confirmed that she owed anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that the first step is to contact the college's or university's billing office and get more information. Have you reached out to the school?
We have previously letting them know that we were unable to make any type of payment on it. But since then, we have not. And that's been back in 23.
Okay. So it could be that at this point it's been sold to a collection agency, and so the debt is not even owed any longer to the college or university. And because so much time has passed, we're probably beyond the period where you could just get this wiped out. I mean, it would be worth calling the college's billing office just to ask if they still own the debt or if it was sold to a collection agency. I would also ask for proof of the debt that you do in fact own it or owe it, and you know whether there's any way that they would be willing to reduce it. I think the question would be, did she transfer too late and therefore it was past drop add and you still owe the tuition? And if so, now we're going to be negotiating with a collection agency. And so I think the next step there is to contact the collection agency, assuming, you have an ability to pay, and see if they would accept a lump sum settlement for less than the full amount. You could ask for it to be removed from your credit report. If it's there, you may want to check. And if they agree to, a pay for delete in writing, then it could be removed after payment. You may want to see if they'd be willing to put you on a payment plan and, get into a monthly payment that fits into your budget at this point. So I think those are your next steps. Step one, check your credit report, see if it's on there. Step two, call the college billing office, see if there's any way to kind of work through whether or not maybe it was charged in error. And because of the withdrawal and transfer, perhaps they should not have billed you. And then thirdly, who owns the debt? And if you do determine that it's owned by now a collection agency and there's nothing you can do to get out of it, now we're contacting collections agency to begin that process of negotiations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But if you do not have the finances to pay the collection agency, then what do you do?
Well, you'd have to let them know that. I think it's better to be in contact with them versus not in contact. And you could pay something. So I think the question is, here's what I'm able to pay. And you could even, be willing to provide an overview of your budget. But it may be that they're asking for, $200 a month and you can pay $100 or you can pay $50. I think the key is just to try to get on a payment plan that does in fact fit with your budget and see if you can begin making progress. If not, it's going to sit out there. It's going to be on your credit report for 7 years, and depending on the size of it, they could pursue a judgment against you, and that has other ramifications. But I think it's better to try to communicate with them and see if you can get on a payment schedule that does in fact work with your budget that they would be willing to accept.
Okay, well, like I'm saying, right at this point, she's not working, and there is no finances that we can actually pay at the moment.
Okay, so that may be the first step, is to say, listen, have your daughter call, say I'm not working, I have no income, there's nothing I can do at this point, but I'll be in touch. But at least you've reached out to them. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faith. FaithFi.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. You know, I've been hosting this program for quite a while now, have answered more than 25,000 questions on biblical finance. We tallied it up the other day, just looking at the number of questions on average each day and the number of episodes that I've hosted. And, you know, you learn a few things along the way when you answer that many questions. And one of the observations that I've made is this idea that money is the most common counterfeit God. You know, if something is going to rival our hearts for first position and our devotion to God, it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. We see this clearly in the parable of the sower. Remember what choked out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return? It was the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. Now, money is not evil. In fact, it's a good gift from God, so long as we see it as a tool. It's not an end. It's a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes, and we don't allow it to become the object of our affection. We can't worship the creation over the Creator, but when we put it in its proper place and hold it loosely and save appropriately and live simply and give generously, you know, that's really key, because giving breaks the grip that money can have over our lives. Well, it's a game changer. It becomes a powerful force for good as we give to support the work of the Lord, as we invest in a way that aligns with our values and our priorities, and when we enjoy and provide with it as well. Well, that's what we want to help you do each day on this program, and we want to tackle your financial questions as well. So if you have a question, we've got a few lines open you can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be headed to Indiana in a moment, but first, Texas. Caleb, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead.
Good morning. My wife and I are debt free, and we own our own home. But we want to buy and move, and after we move, then sell our existing house. We would have no financial hardship in doing either a mortgage or pay cash for it. What would be your recommendation? We're in our mid-40s.
Okay. Yeah. So let me just make sure I understand the situation. You're in your mid-40s. You're selling a home and looking to buy another one. Is that right?
That's right. But we want to move first and then sell our existing home.
Ah, okay. And so what are you planning to spend? Have you decided, you know, how much house you can afford for the new purchase?
Yes, we have savings. We'll be zero savings and some investments that we have. To do that.
Okay.
And then after we buy our house and sell our existing home, then we would build up back our savings.
Okay, got it. What are you planning to spend on this next purchase?
So it'll be about $500.
Okay. And what's the current market value of your existing home?
It's about the same.
About $500. Okay. Do you have a mortgage on your current home?
I do not. No, we're debt free.
Okay, good. And give me just a rundown of the assets that you have that are liquid, you know, your savings, and then you mentioned some investments as well.
That's right. We do have investment accounts, savings, some CDs, and other mutual funds just sitting there.
Okay. What do you have roughly in savings?
I would say about a little over 200.
Okay. And then investments?
Then investments about 500.
Okay. And then CDs?
CDs, I would say about $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay. Got it. And what type of account is the investment account? Is it a retirement account or is it just a taxable account?
It's a taxable account.
Okay. And are you, you'd obviously generate some capital gains by liquidating those investments. Do you have some that you could sell at a loss to offset that?
I plan to sell only either even, to cut even, or at a gain. I plan to keep anything that's at a loss.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you just have to think about the tax implications of those sales, especially if you're just selling them to buy that that home temporarily, and then you're just going to turn around and pay it off right away. I just want to make sure you think about the tax you'll be generating versus the interest that you would pay on a mortgage and the fees, because it costs money, transaction costs, to take out a mortgage. But you need to weigh the costs of the mortgage to get, to build a bridge from the purchase, until you sell the prior home, versus the taxes you'll generate by selling the investments. And so I would look at that. But in terms of, just this bigger question of should you have a mortgage longer term versus cash, I mean, I like the idea that you would continue to be debt free. I mean, you guys are in your 40s. You don't have a need to have a mortgage, especially at these rates. I mean, we saw the peak on 30-year rates at, 7.79 back in October of 2023. We're sitting today at like 6.89. Even if you went with a 15-year fixed rate mortgage, those are right at around 6.05 today, so just above 6% for those with really good credit. I mean, that's a lot of money, even though historically that's pretty average. Getting a guaranteed 6% return, which is what you would have by paying cash, is not a bad idea. Now, if that money could be invested an average 8%, 9%, well, you could do better, but you have to take the after-tax return to compare apples to apples, because if you're investing in a taxable account and you're getting, 8%, then you got to pay the capital gains, and then you have, something left over. And the idea would be that you would be able to do better in the market after tax than the interest rate on that mortgage. That's going to be tough with the 30-year rates. It'll be easier with the 15-year rates. But I also think you need to weigh just the peace of mind, and the conviction around your desire to be debt-free. And if you and your bride have a strong desire to be debt-free, then I would say don't even worry about that 1 or 2 or 3%, difference between the mortgage rate and the annual returns you could get in the market with a properly diversified portfolio. Just own your home. And, you'll never look back and say that was a bad decision, I don't think. And it's going to give you more monthly cash flow to continue to save and invest and give, which is a great thing, especially at your age. You guys are in a really strong position. So I know I'm not giving you a definitive answer, but is that helpful?
It is. Thank you. So I didn't consider the tax implication of the sales. And yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think taxes on both sides. One is the taxes on a temporary float that you're now getting rid of investments that you could have just continued to own and perhaps taken out a short-term mortgage that you just turn around and pay off with no prepayment penalty. And then if you're going to keep the mortgage, you got to think about the taxes on the gains and make sure that it's truly, going to give you net-net more than you're paying in interest over the long haul. And I will just add one more thing. A lot of economists and market analysts are saying we're probably entering into a period where the average annual returns over the next decade are not going to be as rich as the prior decade. you know, we're going to be in more of a sideways market where, you know, we may see 6-7% annual returns instead of 9-11% annual returns. And if that's the case, well, then you're basically breaking even, and why not own your home? So I think those are some things to think and pray about, and hopefully it's helped just process this a little bit further for you. Hey, we appreciate your call, Caleb. Thanks for being on the program today. Patrick, when we come back from the break, you're next up there in Indiana. We'll talk about paying off that credit card debt, and then we'll go to Arkansas and talk to Brenda. This is Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to come. We'll be right back.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today at Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. We'll get to as many as we can. I've got room for one or two more questions before we round out the program today. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Indiana. Patrick, you've been waiting patiently there, sir. Go ahead.
I am wondering if I should take out a loan against my 401k plan to pay off credit card debt.
Yeah, you know, that's not my favorite option, Patrick. I mean, it is kind of a last resort option that's there, because certainly we don't want you paying, you know, 23% if that's what you're averaging on the credit card debt. And yet, what my experience is that, number one, it's a little risky, because if something were to happen and you were to separate from your employer, you know, it would all become a distribution, and therefore it's potentially taxable with a penalty on top. So that's expensive money. Number two, while the money's out of the 401k, even though you're just paying interest to yourself, the bigger miss is the opportunity cost, because that money is there in your 401k so it can grow for the future. And now it's out of the market, which it means it's not growing. And then thirdly, often what my experience is that when we have the quick fix of just wiping out the debt, you know, from another source, whether that's a consolidation loan or in this case, borrowing from a 401k, we just typically don't do the hard work to right-size lifestyle spending, which is often the primary cause of the debt in the first place. It may or may not be for you. There may have been a single event that led to this debt. But if it was kind of just spending beyond your means over time, you know, often I get the call 6 months later that says, yeah, guess what, Rob? Now I have the 401k loan and the credit card debt's back. And so the better approach is to leave the money in the 401k and use a credit counseling program, which is otherwise known as debt management, where perhaps through our friends at Christian Credit Counselors, you would slide the credit card debt into a credit counseling program. Each of those lenders would have a credit counseling rate where they would drop the interest from whatever it is today to typically between 0 and 8%, depends on the creditor. You'd make one monthly payment to Christian Credit Counselors. They'd send it on to the creditors, and the combination of that level monthly payment doesn't decline as the balance comes down. It stays level. On top of that reduction in interest allows you to pay it back on average 80% faster. And we've heard from just so many of our listeners, thousands, that have said this was a game changer. It helped us pay it off once and for all. We built it into our budget. We've never gone back. It just tends to be a better approach. And you would, you know, still have your 401k money working for you. Perhaps one additional thought would be, if you're struggling to make that payment or you want to try to pay it off quicker, one other option would be don't borrow from the 401k, but temporarily for a season, reduce new contributions to your 401k just so you can send more to the credit cards, which preserves what you've already got in the 401k, that $100,000. It slows the future increases for a period, but only to get the credit card debt paid off, and then you bump it back up. But give me your thoughts on all that, Patrick.
No, it all makes sense. The only thing I don't know about the credit card counseling is, does that show up on your credit report as any sort of negative hit or?
Yeah, it's a good question.
What
so
are the
fact,
negative consequences of that?
Yeah, the fact that you're in a credit counseling program, debt management, is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm by itself. So it would not factor into your credit score. The only thing that could adjust your score and temporarily you could see a minor decline would be that these cards are closed even temporarily while you're in the program. And anytime you close a card, it can move your credit score around. But, you know, if you're not out getting ready to buy a car or a house, you know, that's really, it, number one, it's negligible in terms of the amount that you're going to see it decline. And number two, I'm really less concerned about, you know, you losing 50 points on your credit score than I am you getting out of credit card debt once and for all.
Sure. Yeah. No, that all makes sense. I appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
Yeah. So the place to go, Patrick, is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. We've worked with them for more than a decade. They're incredible. They're all believers. And you could at least start there, let them kind of analyze all of your existing debts, tell you how it would work, and then make a decision from there. So hopefully that helps you, my friend. Call anytime if we can be of assistance to you. God bless you. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Brenda. How can I help?
I have a complicated question about a piece of land that my mother inherited. It's 5 acres that my grandmother divided three ways. My mother's since passed. My aunt has since passed. And so three of my siblings have passed. So it's just me and my one sister left. So my question is, what should we do with that land? Should we sell it? It's 1.33. It's L-shaped. It's not even, it wasn't even divided right. But just not sure what to do with it. And if we did sell it, are we obligated for my sisters that have passed to divide the money to their children, my nieces and nephews, or how does that work?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good question, and I do think you need to get some advice on it. But the first step is for you all to come together and decide how you want to move forward. This is raw land, Brenda, that has not been improved. Is that right? Okay. And so there's not any ability to lease it out and earn any kind of passive income. I mean, I guess the only other thing would be if there's any farming potential or hunting or renewable energy, those kinds of things. But, you know, typically that would not be the case.
That's not yet. Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right. Very good. And then are any of you wanting to hang on to it just to keep it, you know, in your family, or are you all, you know, just wanting to maximize the value?
Probably maximize the value, but then I have nieces and nephews that probably could stay on it in a camper with no electricity. I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah. No water, and it just something that needs everything on it. But okay. So we don't know what to do to let them stay on it, because they're fussing a little bit with one another, because we originally said that my one niece could stay on it because she was fixing to be homeless. But you know, then it's causing so much grief, you know, and we should do a trailer park out there. Well, no, we can't.
Yeah,
it's not feasible.
Sure. Has the has the property been divided for each of you, or do you just co-own a single parcel?
Well, it's still in my mother's name that passed. So we just, the 5 acres was divided with my two aunts and my mom. And my one aunt has passed, and my mom has passed. And then my other aunt that owns a piece of it, she lives in another state. And she's kind of at the position that she doesn't want it, but she doesn't want anyone else to have it. So she even stopped talking to my one sister because we were talking to a cousin. So it's really complicated just with the with her, and she wouldn't probably buy this piece of land or sell us hers. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like the best option at this point is for you all to go ahead and sell this, either that or go ahead and subdivide it up based on the beneficiaries. And if some of those beneficiaries are no longer living, then your mom's estate would then pass to their estate and then be distributed according to, you know, their will and so forth. But it seems like this needs to be settled and either divide it up and let the people who want to hang on to it because they want their heirs to be able to access it or use it or whatever it might be to be able to do that. Or you all agree, listen, it's better if we each just liquidate it. We'll divide it up among those who are living. And for those beneficiaries who are no longer living, you know, it would pass to their estate and then could be distributed according to their will and so forth, and then be done with it. Now you're not paying property taxes. You're not dealing with how it's being used and, you know, whether or not you're taking on liability for somebody who's, you know, either temporarily or permanently living on the property. I don't think you want to go there. I think the best option is to get an appraiser in there who can value the land and help you understand what kind of asset are you sitting on, and then maximize the value on the sale. And unless there's something significant that's about to happen, you know, this was a place in the country that's now all about to have a major road going through it, or, you know, there's a development going in down the street or something that's going to enhance the value in a relatively short period of time. And if that's not the case, I would say you just get an appraiser in there, figure out what it is, you know, get a realtor who specializes in raw land in this particular, you know, part of the city to get it sold for you. And then you divide up the money according to the estate and from your mom to, or whoever it was, your grandmother that, you know, now would go to each of the heirs, you know, based on whether they're living or deceased. Does that make sense?
It does. But the thing there is we have lost my mom. She passed in 2001, okay, and all of her estate, her home and stuff and everything has been taken care of. And the only thing that wasn't was this piece of land. Okay. And we just, I don't know, we just never dealt with it. It's still in my mom's name. But to sell it, that poses another question. Well, with me and my one sibling living, for me and her to sell it, will we have to get permission from my other sisters that are not living, their children, to sell it?
Yeah, it's a good question. And so the estate needs to be settled by the executor, and you really need to get some legal counsel about how all that's going to go down. But yeah, the portion that belonged to your mom, who is no longer living, would now pass to her estate. And so if everything in her estate was to be divided equally, and that includes your siblings who are no longer living, that would then pass according to their estate. So this is getting a few levels down here, which adds some complexity. So legal counsel could tell you how to handle that with regard to their children. But again, I would imagine very few people want to just be sitting on a piece of raw land with the liability and the expense. Even though it's going to take some work, it's probably best if you get them involved, get an attorney involved, get this thing sold, get everybody the money that they're entitled to, and let's move on. I think that's my best advice. Brenda, all the best to you. Thanks for calling. Big thanks to my team today, Taylor, Devin, Sandy, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.